all, and welcome to yet another episode of the Alone Blues Podcast. I'm your host, Srini Pasaradi, and I'm joined by my co-host, Venkat. The IPL is done and dusted for another year, and we have a new champion in the Gujarat Titans, led by Hardik Pandya. The final in itself was like a damn squib.
Yeah, it was almost an anticlimax. It was supposed to be really interesting, high-scoring game, but in front of that many audience as well. It's not the first time we see in cricket, especially when the pressure gets to people. And Rajasthan is, although they have played IPL for long, it's, I think, one of their finals as well. It has been such a long time since they won. So I think that played in their minds, at least for me.
Yeah, I mean, normally we, the way this podcast we structure is we look at what's happening in the world of cricket and then kind of delve into the IPL. But because we've started in trail, let's probably go through and probably look at the what's happening elsewhere in the world at the end. Let's start about with the final, and then we can look at the playoff games in a bit. I think the one person we probably need to talk about from the finalists, Hardik Pandya. He's led the Gujarat Titans from the front. This tournament in many ways was his comeback vehicle. He's been over the last 12 months before the IPL, I think. He's been with injuries and stuff. He didn't make the T20 World Cup last year. Yeah. I think it's fair to say India missed him in that World Cup, and probably we've been crying out for that all-rounder spot, Ben Stokes kind of thing for Hardik Pandya. We thought when he played in South Africa and all of those things, that he was coming, but then call it whatever, poor some of the things that off-field activities, sort of all of those things, and injuries meant we hadn't seen the best of Hardik Pandya. But then, boy, did he come back this tournament! Not just as a player, who's packed a ball in those four overs and his batting, but I think the way he's led the team overall, it's been simply phenomenal.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I could see, apart from all the fanfare and the things, is how well Hardik Pandya has led the side. I think he was quietly confident. I think he's toned down a bit in terms of his usual self. I think that comes with captaincy. So he was, in my opinion at least, was very, very contained. Even though he win, as soon as the winning guns were hit, there was only a faint smile, and not, it's almost Dhoni-esque in terms of his celebration. At least the initial reaction to the victory, which is not a simple thing to do. You've taken up the first year as a captain for a new franchisee, and to go ahead and win the IPL is just a big, big achievement in Hardik Pandya's cricketing career.
Yeah, I think we should talk about the whole franchise itself. In some ways, if you looked at the franchise, I don't want to say it's have been players or anything like that, because definitely they were not have been players that they picked up, be it Hardik Pandya or be it Rashid Khan, etc. Probably more, I would say, people that were let go of by their franchises. Rashid Khan from Sunrisers, or Hardik from Mumbai, possibly sort of David Miller as well.
David Miller, especially, you are right. Of course, they were one of the things that I was noticing was that I think Gujarat Titans with Ashish Nehra, they wanted a solid bowling lineup. And so they picked, the people like Rashid Khan, for example, Lucky Ferguson, kind of having that good pace. But some of the strange decisions as well, in terms of having Matthew Wade with Zaha in the same team. I don't know what they saw in Wade, and there was a lot of criticisms around that, but they stuck to that format, and they kept the team rather consistent, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Ash Nera there. I think I'm right in thinking that, this is the, well, he was the head coach, even though you had Gary Kirsten involved with it. Gary Kirsten was more as a batting coach or a mentor. Ashish Nehra was actually the head coach. I might be wrong, but I'm thinking he's actually the first Indian head coach to win the IPL. If you think back across the thing, the first one with Rajasthan Royal, I think Shane Warne was the mentor come coach at that point. There was probably no Indian head coach. Looking at all of the other ones as well, KKR period as well, I don't think they had an Indian head coach when they won. Mumbai probably was more people like Mahila Jayawardene, Sean Pollock, etc. CSK has been always Stephen Fleming.
Stephen Fleming.
The one,
SRH,
I think it was
when
Tom Moody, I think when
Tom
they won.
Moody, when they won,
Yeah, and
yes, yeah.
even when they won as in as the Deccan Chargers, I don't think they had an Indian coach at that time either. So I mean, we may have to go back and look at this, but I'm pretty sure he's the first what you would call the Indian head coach to win, which is again, another one of those unique achievements in terms of when you think about some of the big coaches, Anil Kumble, I think, was coach of Punjab. Rahul Dravid was there at Rajasthan for a period of time. V.V.S. Lakshman's been part of the team in Sunrisers Hyderabad. He may have been part of it. I think he wasn't the head coach. He might have been the one. But yeah, if you when you think of some of those big names that have been there, it's interesting to see the first head coach to Indian. I don't know what odds would have got to say, it would have taken 15 years, and Ashish Nehra is the first one to come and win.
I think that was really one of those things. I didn't notice, but well spotted, Srini. I think we will have to go back and check if there was any coaching stuff. But there might have been Indian contingent, but not necessarily a coach. Primarily. And the other thing was, I think one of the things that I w was surprised, I don't know why, but I was surprised, was that when I started to hear Ravi Shastri in the commentary for the finals, I was like, what's that? I mean, it feels a bit, kind of nostalgic, like it reminds you of the past IPLs before he took on as a coach. The familiarity in the commentary was definitely there to see. Harsha Bhogle, Ravi Shastri, so it was good.
So just let, I mean let's just kind of focus a minute on the actual finals in itself. Rajasthan Royals obviously won the toss and they chose to bat, which was a surprise when you looked at the stat that Gujarat this season had won out of the 8 matches that they had chased. They had won seven, and Rajasthan seemed to be better off chasing as well. Especially, although to be fair, right at the beginning of the match at the decision, I was saying well, it's always you put a score on the board and then the opposition have to chase, so there's pressure on runs. But the fact that they really didn't put any score on the board, 130 in the finals was nothing. They'd lost the match, I think, almost after the first 20 overs itself, because there was no pressure on Gujarat Titans to, like, you know, really up the take any risks
Yeah.
at all. They could just play it almost just over a run a ball, and they would canter home. It's especially, like, you know, the opening stand that Jaiswal and Butler gave. They were what, 60, 60 for two or something like that. Can't believe, like, you know, from there they just lost their way. I think the first 8 overs or so they scored like 60 runs. So I was thinking, like, easily this was like, you know, a 170, 180. So they probably left about 40 runs behind. The most frustrating one for me was Sanju Samson. He there's no question, like, you know, in terms of talent and the runs wise. I mean, if you look at the overall this year, Sanju Samson's actually in the top 10 in terms of the run scorers.
Yeah. Yeah, from my point of view, I think this also goes to show, I'll quote the unpopular opinion. I think Sanjay Manjrekar also chimed in with that view, that this goes to show that the IPL is not won in the auction. I think that is one thing. The home crowd was 100,000 plus. I think just take a step back, right? I mean, you spoke about why bat first. I think under pressure, everybody wanted to have the runs on board, because then every wicket when you chase is a nail in the coffin, or a proverbial coffin, or the setting. I mean, even if I think Rajasthan scored about 160, given that they lost wickets when they were going for the chase, that would have made it that much more difficult. I think as a incoming team, it's a new T franchise, and so those that I think that must have been at the back of Sangakkara's mind when they would have decided as a think tank to say, okay, if you win the toss, let's go ahead and bat.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I was just looking at the stats earlier today, and if you just picked up from a batting perspective and look at the top 10, Josh Butler, obviously, like, you know, head and shoulders above everybody. He's had the phenomenal tournament, you know, scoring over 860 runs.
Yeah.
He's completely, like, you know, in a league of one. And this, I think, he had like a brief dip in between, but still. He managed to get over 800 runs, 400s, 400s and 450s, I think, this season. But the next best batsman, if you look at it for Rajasthan Royals, was Sanju Samson, who scored 400 less runs than him. You know, that is weird. I think, in some sense, the Josh Butler on one hand from a batting perspective and Chahal on the other hand from a bowling perspective, they just carried Royals through. There was no contribution from the rest of the team. There was just, like, equally from a bowling perspective as well. You know, you just went to Chahal's 27 wickets, and then to look at the number two bowler from Rajasthan Royals. They were not even in the top 20. There was nobody even in the top 20. So it just seemed like, you know, two people carried them, and they.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think they had been once Butler was dismissed. I remember hearing the commentary, and they said, "Yep, that's it. They're going to struggle from here on," and they did because Ashwin is a player. Yes, of course, we all know Ashwin can bat, but Ashwin, Parag, Bolt, McCoy, they are hit and miss from number 6 to 11. I don't think you can count them on a pressure game to deliver those big. At various points in time, these players have hit big runs. Ashwin being the latest addition to batting credentials. I think Ashwin has had batting as one of the strengths as he started his career, but not necessarily what you would say is a consistent T20 performer yet. So I think that cost them,
I
even if
mean,
you
yeah, if you I know I said, like, you know, they didn't have any males in the top 10. It's actually, in fact, I'm doing a disservice to Prasidh Krishna. Prasidh Krishna did, you know, end up in the top 10, just literally, like, you know, with 19 wickets in there. The next best they had was Trent Bolt. So Rajasthan had some bowling, but I think batting wise, they probably didn't quite. Whereas it was a complete team performance. I think with Gujarat Titans, there was a complete team performance. I mean, Hardik Pandya, Shubman Gill, David Miller, all three in the top 10. All of them scoring. So the load was actually, if you like, you know, spread across. There was no pressure on one single batsman to deliver. You know, it was kind of spread across, and all of them managed to do it.
Yeah, that is true. I think Gujarat Titans, from a batting point of view, looked more balanced, not reliant on one or two players. I think Shubman Gill had a average kind of IPL, and suddenly he came to the party in the finals. So that's a big thing. It lessens the pressure on Pandya to a certain extent.
Let's talk about the other two teams who were there in the qualifier, Lucknow Super Giants and RCB. Lucknow will consider themselves slightly unlucky in the sense, like, you know, they had the opportunity to finish second. They blew stuff, you know, they literally finished outside based on run rate. So they had equal wins as, like, you know, Rajasthan in the overall league, 9 wins and 5 losses. So they would think, like, you know, they had a great chance and they just blew the opportunity. RCB, on the other hand, obviously, like, you know, they came into the tournament or into the qualifier courtesy of Delhi Capitals, who blew their opportunity and, like, you know, handed it to RCB. So that first game between RCB and LSG, again, I think it was on game day, I was saying, like, you know, LSG probably had prepared for all the big guns, Virat Kohli, Faf du Plessis, Glenn Maxwell, etc., and completely forgot about Rajat Patidar.
He was brilliant. Yes, of course, he was that day. I think it was Patidar's show, and he was brilliant on that game. Single-handedly won them the game, if I should say that.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether that has solved the number three problem for RCB. You know, it's a question for next season.
Yeah, exactly. RCB, I think, to a certain extent, paid the price for carrying Virat Kohli. In any other franchise with any other player, he would have been given a break. I will go out to say that. And, you know, I think that cost them. Out of form, he was struggling, and he did struggle not only in that game, but the other game as well. So we have had glimpses of him coming back. It was almost a false start in some cases. But hopefully that trend continues and he's able to build up on that, you know, big scoring Kohli, consistent scoring Kohli that we are used to seeing.
Yeah, I mean, the other side of the argument you would make is the fact that, you know, he was still the second top scorer, even including the fact that, you know, he got three ducks. Yeah. He managed to get three ducks, and yet he's probably, like, you know, the
second
topmost scorer for them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, Virat Kohli is, like, you know, yeah, he definitely needs a break. The elephant in the room that's not kind of being talked about is, like, you know, he definitely needs. I hope, like, you know, this break that he gets from not playing the South Africa series might do him a world of good, and he comes back. I hope they actually, like, you know, rest him for the tour of Ireland, where they play a couple of T20s as well, and, like, you know, he comes directly into the test team, and he doesn't play those games as well. Actually, I didn't look at that. You know, the tour that the team that was announced, I think the test team was only for the one-off test, and not for the T20 in Ireland, etc. I mean, the other person talking about, like, RCB, we forgot to mention, is Dinesh Karthik.
Yeah, exactly. Dinesh Karthik also had a bad day on that day. With that, I should say, he was keeping still okay. Yeah, he did have that
I think,
particular
yeah,
issue.
it's more than that game, not the LSG game. It was the second game against
Yeah.
Rajasthan Royals where,
Yeah, exactly.
he missed out on, didn't come to the party.
Yeah, the other factor, Srini, I think from my point of view is I was just looking at like numbers, stats. I think RCB considered the most sixes. 20. I think bowling is something Mohammad Siraj considered 31 most by any bowler, and then Hasaranga 30 most by, I mean second most by any bowler in any season. And then yeah, they were hit for 147 sixes in the entire IPL. So that's a huge number.
Yeah, I mean, Siraj, I think this must be a sobering experience where he's been brought down back to
Yeah.
earth. Almost 11 or maybe more than 11 in terms of his economy rate.
Yeah.
Probably the worst, I think 10, no, yeah, I think it was 10.07 or something like that. I mean, Manindya Hasaranga, at least even though he went for, a lot of
Yeah.
sixes, etc., he still managed to get like a fiver and, ended up being like 26 wickets. So he was just almost the purple cap. He just missed by one. But Siraj, he was actually retained by RCB over Chahal, and again, like, sort of the team, the players that finished in the finals, some of them, if you like, Rashid Khan. We talked about Hardik Pandya, Mumbai let him go. Rashid Khan, that SRH let go, Chahal, that was let go by Bangalore. All of these players, they all, like, ended up performing really, really well for the new franchises.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the point you made earlier about, like, the IPL is not won in auctions, it's won through the performances.
On that day, and T20 is a very ruthless format. I mean, you have two or three batters or bowlers have a bad day, and that's it. That game is lost. RCB was case in point again. I think Faf du Plessis, and for example, Kohli and Karthik, Maxwell, they all kind of, if you have even a 20-30 run, kind of batting outing, so I think you're seriously in trouble because the format doesn't allow you to recover. So I think RCB knew paid the price in that qualifying, I mean, playoff game.
So we, I mean, obviously we looked at the final, we looked at, the route to the final, the qualifiers, etc., and GT and all. Let's kind of, move slightly away from specific matches in the finals and stuff like that, and look at, like, thoughts about the overall season this year. What caught your interest, or points? I think obviously the one for me is, like, MI and CSK, where they finished, which was a complete surprise, on the other end of the scale from Gujarat winning. It's completely on the other end of the scale with CSK. Again, CSK also, it's like you would say, well, 2 years ago CSK kind of performed similarly, like, poorly, whereas MI, they had always been there on the top,
Yeah.
which they were, like, completely. I don't think CSK have even, like, finished at the bottom, even the previous time. And whereas MI this time on a
Yeah.
10-man tournament finished, they managed to finish. They got the same amount of points, like, we talked about Rajasthan Royals and LSG in terms of how it's just purely the run rate. Similarly for MI and CSK, the two powerhouses of the IPL, to finish right at the bottom is one of the other stories of this IPL.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would have expected that to happen if you start. I mean, Mumbai started out as a favorites, right? They won four games out of 14, and CSK did the same too. In terms of, so if you look at the number of wins and number of losses, it's exactly the same between CSK and MI, only in terms of run rate is where you have Mumbai going even further. So there's not much to separate between those teams, is what I'm trying to say to you.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at throwing this forward for the next year, they obviously won't be like the mega auction. They'll probably be a mini auction. I still think like Mumbai, versus CSK. If I look at it, Mumbai have still got like a better core. You're hoping like next year, the likes of Rohit Sharma, Ishan Kishan will come back in form. Surya
Yeah.
Kumar Yadav, if he, he won't be injured, he'll come back. I was going to say Jofra Archer possibly, but again, Jofra Archer's out the rest of this summer as well, I think, injured.
Yeah.
So I don't know like where he will be like next year. That's one on so from an injury perspective. But the likes of Tim David as well.
Yeah.
Pollock definitely like needs to move on. I think Mumbai needs to move on from Pollock. Same thing.
Pollard,
Yeah,
you
Pollard,
mean?
sorry. Yeah, definitely.
Right. Yeah.
But they moved on from Pollock unless he's still in the dugout.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pollard, if they're still stuck with Pollock, then there's a much
Yeah.
bigger problem. Yeah, he definitely moved from Pollard. CSK, on the other hand, I think it's much more difficult. I think in terms of where their core is, because I know Dhoni said he's going to play another year, but sentimental, things apart, he wants to like come back and finish off in Chennai and all of those things apart.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, I know Ambati Raidu, they've said he's going to play another year. Hopefully, they move away from Dwayne Bravo. They've
Yeah.
got to give the youngsters a chance. A mini auction in terms of where they're going to get some replacements is a difficult one. Oh, I mean, Chahar comes back. That'll be a big boost, from injury. They invested a lot. You hope Jadeja will come back into form next year.
I hope
So,
Jadeja, first of all, plays for Chennai next
I
auction.
yeah.
That's seriously, because if you really look at it, Dhoni is there, then you have Gaikwad, but there is Conway. So, but then there is no big players, and that has been Chennai's formula. But sometimes in these things, you need a really power-packed player. Now Mumbai has got Tim David. Every team has a power pack player. Like if you see RCB, even though they didn't qualify to the, I mean, they didn't make it to the finals. They had Dinesh Karthik, yeah, somebody who reinvented himself. And there are rumors that they will. There is a possibility that AB de Villiers may make a comeback. And you have every team which has a power pack player, except Chennai to an extent. And Dhoni was that player for Chennai in the past, and that we just need somebody else. There is what I think. At least Chennai definitely needs somebody who can hit the long ball.
Yeah, so well, we'll see. Hopefully, if Mumbai and Chennai can make, well, I say can, they will definitely make a comeback next year. And with the crux of Gujarat's team, Rajasthan have definitely, even though they lost, they've really got a very good team.
Yeah.
So have Lucknow, I think. So it'd be interesting there, the top five, what well, the top three, if you like, and the bottom two. Again, RCB and Delhi. So it might be like actually a more, even more interesting and difficult IPL next year. So we'll see how those go. Other things to talk about from this IPL overall. We mentioned this quite a few times around Jos Buttler. He was like head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of batting. Talk about like a sort of golden touch form, him being dropped from the test team in England, and I think he wasn't given a, I think he's been probably given a white ball only contract this year, but he's just put them all aside and turned out for Rajasthan Royals.
863 runs.
Yeah.
I think 100 short of the highest ever, which was maybe Virat Kohli in 2016. I think 863 is still the biggest.
Yeah, and I don't think like even that 2016 Virat Kohli won. He I'm very much doubt that like he scored so many hundreds.
No, I think he's I think it was the same, if I'm not wrong. I think Jos Buttler equaled Virat Kohli's 2016 record of the most runs in a single edition. There were 800 scored in 74 matches, topping the seven 77 scored in 2016 60 matches. So you got to give that. I think there were 800 scored total, and I think if you look at Jos Buttler, he scored four centuries. I think Kohli also scored four
Yeah,
centuries.
I think he did probably get a little bit few more half centuries that season. I think he got like seven half centuries. The other interesting one this time, I think it's a Chahal getting 27 wickets. I saw a stat this morning. I don't know if you saw like all of his 27 wickets
Very unique
were unique. There was
players.
like yeah, there was completely unique players. Like he hadn't taken two wickets of the same batsman. That's pretty phenomenal.
That's a statistical
Yeah.
figure, especially when you play the same team, and especially when he bowls in the same place. I mean, so it's not like he suddenly opened the bowling and bowls at the death or anything. He's just in the middle overs, and so that's
So
really
that's an
bizarre.
interesting, yeah, an interesting stat. The other things to talk about from this IPL batsman bowlers, apart is in the innovation in terms of Ashwin retiring out. I know there was another game as well where Fab du Plessis said he could have, he was also thinking about retiring out when he wasn't getting there. But that the whole idea that the Rajasthan Royals were trying something different. Usually we see innovation from Ashwin in bowling. He tried all sorts of things. That stopping and bowling, going across and all sort of different things, bowling leg spin and everything else. It was interesting to see him actually bring an innovation in batting this time around. And I have a feeling that that will catch up. If not, it didn't catch up so much in this season, but other teams will start to look at those kind of innovations and see like if a batsman's not getting, they just retire him out and get. So that's something new that was brought into this year's IPL. Controversies, I guess, take a pick, couple of them. The no ball controversy, which
Gumball controversy.
Pant decided to almost pull his team out, sending all sorts of people in. Obviously he was following in the footsteps of Dhoni from here. So that was something that could have been avoided. And the other one was the DRS controversy where the DRS didn't exist. I mean,
DR
that.
didn't exist. Yes, that was one. And then the I mean, the other one is it's not so much of a big deal, but Dinesh Karthik lost his cool and he was yelling at this mic as soon as he missed. I mean, I wouldn't call that a controversy. He was given a disciplinary point and he had not accepted that. But that kind of gave a chuckle. We all do that. We all, kind of know how passionate he was. And then, that's one of those things that emerged out of this IPL.
Yeah, so those were probably some interesting things that did come out of this IPL.
The other
Anyway.
thing I saw was a funny stat, talking about tosses, and that is a completely random event. And I just read somewhere they think Rajasthan Royals lost 13 tosses in their 17 matches this season. So 13 out of 17 is, which means they didn't have a control of what they, I mean, they wouldn't have wanted to do what they had planned out for. So.
Yeah, and yet, yet they actually managed to reach the final. Talks about
Yeah,
how much how much they did it.
Tosses are overrated.
Yeah, that's probably how you've got to look at it. So before we wrap up this episode of the podcast, let's kind of have a quick look at the Women's T20 Challenge. Harmanpreet Singh's, they obviously won the challenge. I didn't, to be honest, I didn't actually get a chance to watch much of the game this time around. Jemima Rodriguez, obviously, she was dropped from the World Cup. She wasn't picked in. She's put that behind her, and looking forward to, obviously, they'll be playing in the Commonwealth Tournament, and also the T20 World Cup is just around the corner. I think it's in the beginning of January, February. So she made like a 44 ball 66 for the
Yeah,
Trailblazers.
trail
So she,
blazers, yes, that's right.
so that's definitely, obviously, she's a great fielder as well. So that, I think, from Harmanpreet Kaur, sort of preparing for both the Commonwealth Tournament and I'm just looking at from that tournament, not what where India's takeaways, like if you like India
Yeah.
women, Tania Bhatia is another one. I think she is a good pick. There were some new finds.
Yeah.
Simra, I think Simran Bahadur, she was a
Bahadur.
pace bowler. She was one, and Meghna was another one. In terms of Harlin Diol, we obviously saw her take that wonderful catch last year.
Yeah.
She's another one, in terms of the good finds. So I think the disappointment in some sense was some of the established names actually, not quite for India specifically, not quite delivering. But I think there's a whole heap of new faces that were identified in this tournament. And again, we've been constantly saying this on the show in terms of this builds a good base for a. This shows that there is talent, in the women's game in India, and hopefully, 2023 there is a women's IPL rather than a yet another T20 challenge. I really hope there's a women's IPL in 2023.
Yeah, I think what we definitely need is a women's IPL, not a tick in the box, a tournament. Something is better than nothing, but it definitely needs much better organization, and more. Maybe the formula is then to include more foreign players, and then have. I think we could discuss and debate how to make it a bigger tournament than simply three or four games, just shoehorned in front of men's IPL finals.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something to look forward to for next year. Right, let's close off this and say, it's been great IPL. It definitely seems like to have gone forever and ever. It's a full proper 2 months job now. But yeah, before you blink, I think it'll be back around in April next year. But until between now and the next IPL, there's plenty more cricket for us to
Plenty
follow here
of
on the
that, yeah.
podcast. Starting with the first T20I against South Africa on the 9th of June, and we will be here on this podcast, covering all of India's exploits over the next 12 months.
Yeah, we also have other cricket as well. I think English summer is starting this week. So that is also exciting to see. So yeah, there's plenty of action for
Yeah,
us to
definitely.
follow.
We'll keep an eye out on the English summer, but I think just speaking on India's cricket itself, there's, as I said, there's the T20I against South Africa that starts on the 9th of June. Then India obviously travel over here to England to play. I think they play a couple of T20s in Ireland, and then the Test match. The women also come over to England to play some white ball cricket. They also are part of the Commonwealth, so that's another tournament to look forward to. And then obviously there's the big one, the 2022 sort of World Cup, 2020
World
World
Cup.
Cup in Australia. There's plenty more cricket to keep us going, and we will be here on the Yellow and Blues podcast talking about that. If you like the sound of this, please subscribe to this podcast and follow us on the website yellowandblues.com. We're also on Twitter. Our handle is at yellowandblues. And if you like the sound of this podcast, leave your reviews, ratings. You know, that's what keeps us going on Spotify or any other platform on which you get your podcast from. So
yeah, it doesn't cost a thing, isn't it, Srini? It doesn't cost a thing for you to just go ahead and do a like. That keeps us motivated. So looking forward.
Yeah. So until next week from me and Venkat, it's goodbye.